Good morning. We started off one of the verses that one of you read out from the sheet was talking about the joy of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but literally as I walked into church this morning, I got here about 10 past 10, and I came in to see this wonderful band of people stood there. Aren't they brilliant? I think we should just express our thanks to them. And not just them, but Dan and others, people who serve week in, week out. But it was such a joy to not only come in and see so many, but also to see our wonderful teenagers. Where have they gone? Just such a joy to see them. Thank you for all that you pour out. But on a day like today, hopefully we can all find a nugget of joy. We can see the sun, but also we come with challenges, don't we? And just as we were singing just then, I was looking actually at the flags that were here from Imagine, just thinking actually, it struck me that it was a real joy to see the nations represented, because actually as we watch the World Cup or whatever, then actually Open Doors, certainly, and numerous others are really calling out for that heart of prayer for the nations of our world. So just as we start, we're looking at Philemon, but let's just pray together, shall we? And maybe you can just pray with me for maybe just pick a flag even, or pick a member of the band, as we've said, but we'll just commit them to the Lord as we start together this morning. Father God, we thank you that each and every day, no matter what challenges come our way, we can always find joy in you, in all that you have done in our lives and all that you are doing. Lord, we thank you for those things that we can be grateful for. We thank you for our wonderful band, for them this morning. Pray your special blessing on them. But Lord, as we lift our eyes to you, we pray, Jesus, just in with these flags around us, Lord, I just pray that you would, as that song just said, would all the earth shout your praise. And we pray, Lord, that as we look to not just our place here in the city of Ely, but indeed to the nations, this world that these flags represent, Jesus, we just pray that would you be Lord over all. Have your way, Lord, particularly today in places where there is poverty and places where there is unrest and war. We just pray that by your Holy Spirit, would you be powerfully at work even today in ways that we will not see, but we trust you because you are an almighty God. But Lord, open our hearts and our minds and our ears this morning, as we just look at your word and try and get a sense of what you might be saying to us. We pray that we may have soft hearts to feel you nudging us or whispering to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've mentioned the World Cup already. Hands up for me if you've been watching any of the World Cup or all of it, whatever time zone, not quite a few of you, brilliant. Well, I'm fully expecting that as a certain match kicks off at 1 p.m. today, there might be fewer people for coffee as you want to get home, and for some of you, not all, but watch the build-up or get home for those of you who've got further to travel. But the World Cup is a great opportunity in part, isn't it, both for watching, enjoying the sport if you like football. Even if you don't like football, many of people do watch England play, don't they, and rally around that, if not at any other point during the year. But it's a great opportunity also for mission and for people on our doorsteps gathering together, as you see the nation over at this time, which is fantastic. But I'm not going to speak to you about the World Cup, but I'm going to speak to you for a minute longer about football. Because those of you who know that I'm married to an obsessive Arsenal supporter, and now have two boys who have also gone down the same route, I'm completely doomed. And so our household has a lot to do with football day in, day out. Some of you can appreciate how that feels. But I did, pre the World Cup, I was subjected to watch another football match. And some of you seeing the pictures come up on the screen might be able to tell me which one this was. Any takers? What match was it? Sorry? It was the Champions League final. It was the 2018 UEFA Cup Champions League final, which took place on the Saturday of half term, which is the 26th of May. We were away on holiday, but like I said, being totally outnumbered in my family, I was subjected to go and watch it in a pub. That's fine. I had a glass of wine. I was happy. But we watched this Champions League final, and it was, as you may recall, or you might be able to spot on there, it was a final between Real Madrid and Liverpool. Now, I believe it was played in Kiev, but it was the third consecutive league final for Real Madrid. And in fact, as they ended up winning, it was their third consecutive league win. And the result was, can anyone recall? 3-1. It was 3-1. Yeah, absolutely. So what happened in this match is Real Madrid took the title and won 3-1. But what caught me was not so much watching the match, but actually what happened in this match, as you'll see here, is that the German goalkeeper who plays for Liverpool Karius, he basically let in the three goals because the score was 3-1. But what you saw was actually that as these goals came shamelessly past him, bless him, I can't help but feel sorry for him, but that he just got more and more emotional as the match went on. For some of you who might have seen any of the press afterwards, they said that actually they thought Karius had actually got a concussion from an earlier part in the match, or I'm not even sure whether that was before. But basically, as Gareth Bale scored two, another goal soared in past him. Basically, you saw this man become more and more emotional. And as you'll see the pictures there, as he went off tearfully, they conceded this win and Real Madrid took the title, as we've said. So basically what happened after the match is, of course, the frenzy of the press and social media just went wild. And it was that actually I was quite interested in, because it pulled at my heartstrings almost for Karius, in the sense that actually what happened was we saw that he reported to say to the press that he was apologetic for the mistakes that he'd made. And he said this, that it was my fault we lost the team the final. But what went on in the week to, or the days of the week to come, was that actually he received death threats because of having let these goals in. People came to his house, there was stuff on social media, and this poor guy was obviously isolated out, all the blame put on him, and clearly, as you can see from the angst on his face, he took it on that it was his fault that they'd lost the final. Well, the questions that arose in my mind around that time, which there is a relevance, I believe, to the story of Philemon, are these. Actually, with blame lying at his door, or so he thought, so he said, what do you think? Should Karius have actually been sacked from the team and thrown out? Because I just imagined, I was imagining at the time, how does this outplay itself from here on in? If Karius is saying, it's all my fault, what was the conversation that took place in the changing room afterwards? Does the manager come over to him and say, that's it, you know, it was the Champions League final, you had one role, you needed to stop those goals from going in, you're finished, out, you're never playing in a league match like this again? Would he have stopped playing for Liverpool? Well, I don't know. But my question to you would be, if you were the manager of the Liverpool team at that time, what would you have done? The reason that for me, having watched the Champions League final just those few weeks ago, the reasons that it relates to Philemon is because it flags up some of the important themes that we see in this very short lesson letter in the Bible. And the main themes that I see are this. It's around forgiveness. The themes around moving on from mistakes, the opportunity and the decision whether to bring someone back into the fold or not, as you'll have seen even with Theo and in the earlier children's talks, but also the complexities of restoration. And some of our songs have already spoken about that, haven't they? God's heart to restore us and welcome us into his kingdom. But actually, sometimes life can be complex, can't it? And like maybe the conversations in the changing room for Liverpool and maybe the weeks that rolled on after that. Actually, life can be complex when it comes to forgiveness, mistakes and restoration. So how does this relate to us in the story of Philemon? Well, what we see in the letter, as you may already have gathered from the reading, is this. We have a picture of Paul who is in prison and he's writing to Philemon. In verses 4-7, Paul heartfeltly writes to him, thanking Philemon for being an excellent church leader. We believe he's a house church leader. There weren't church buildings at that time because of the cost and expense. Many of the early church grew out of house churches that just met simply in people's homes. But what we see is Paul writing to him and thanking Philemon for his sold out passion and his love for the people and his way of gathering and of leading the church in discipleship and in growing their faith. And Paul addresses him really warmly, as we read, as a brother in the faith. And he really commends him for all that he's doing at that time. We know from what we've already heard and what we've seen as well that Onesimus was a slave in Philemon's household, wasn't he? And he may have been a very valuable slave. We don't know how long he'd been there. But we can read into the account, some are clearer than others, that actually what had happened was that Onesimus had potentially stole from him. But whatever had happened, he'd run away, betrayed him, abandoned him. And had left the household of Philemon. But what we do know is on account of Paul writing to Philemon is that whilst he'd been away, he'd encountered Paul, and through whatever dealings they'd had, he'd become a Christian, and he'd welcomed Jesus into his own life and had been a transformed character from that part onwards. And verses 8 to 10 tell us that Paul recommends him as a changed man, as often happens when people come to know Jesus. But what's interesting is that we get in this picture of the letter is that Paul isn't actually saying, I'm commending, or rather commanding you to take him back, but rather I'm commending, I'm beseeching you to take back this man, Onesimus, who's changed, and welcome him back into your household. What we believe is that actually Paul, in his stature and his the respect that he would have had as an apostle, he could have actually probably told Philemon what he should do. But he doesn't. He beseeches him and just says, take him back as better than a slave, but as a dear brother. Not only that, but Paul goes on to suggest that actually Onesimus can be a valuable asset to him because he's seen him come to know Jesus, to be inspired with a passion for Jesus that is growing, no doubt. And he says, actually, if you take him back, he could be a valuable asset to you in your ministry, maybe helping you lead in the church that you're a part of. So I want you just for a moment to just imagine yourself into that scene and imagine that you are Philemon, okay, on that particular occasion. Now, we don't know what the time lapse is, but my guess is it's at least been a few weeks that Onesimus has been away. He's had time to encounter Paul and maybe others and make this life decision to follow Jesus. But in coming to this point where he receives this letter from Paul, I want you to imagine how you would have felt when that slave who not only potentially stole from you, who ran away from your household and has now come back to you with this letter, how do you feel? And moreover, what decision do you make reading, as we've done this morning, looking at that letter that's saying, take him back not as a slave, but as a brother? Well, you've got Paul, haven't you, who's there and he's far away and he's entrusting this man Onesimus back to Philemon. But the challenge is put back on Philemon, isn't it? And his household, not just him maybe, but his decision as to know what's best to do. Well, we're looking at a series, aren't we, at the moment called Be the Man. And Philemon is a story about a man. And the way I read into it is that there's other people in this story, not just Philemon. So today's message is not, as all the others in our series, not just for the men, but for us women too. But I'm going to suggest just three things that have struck me about reading this that I'd like to present to you as well. And the first is this, Ollie, if you could flick on the slide for me. That this is a story about the challenge of forgiveness and seeking out the way to peace. Philemon was forced into this position, wasn't he, where actually he was given a moment where he had to make a straight decision. And the decision was quite simple, wasn't it? It was either to reinstate Onesimus or it was to tell him to pack his bags again and go because he'd betrayed him, he'd let him down, he'd maybe stolen from him as well. Was he going to forgive him and bring him back into the household? Or like we said, was he going to actually punish him further for what he'd already done and send him packing? Well, I wonder what you would have done if you think about the emotions involved in that sense. If Onesimus had been a loved member of the household, albeit in a servant-slave capacity, then actually that betrayal to him may run quite deep. It may have been tougher than we might think on the surface level. But the reality is, as I'm sure many of us know all too well, is that forgiveness is challenging. It's often heart-wrenching. But we also know, don't we, that as Christians we know that it's right. But in our lives, I wonder how that impacts you as you think even about that word forgiveness and whether you've ever been at a point of a decision like that as to whether you forgive or whether you just keep someone at arm's length and push them away. Because for many of us, we've often been in situations, and maybe even now today, where you feel actually really hurt by somebody betraying you or letting you down, stealing from you, saying things behind your back, maybe not acting in the way that you would have liked them to, maybe not acting in the way that you've acted towards them. And let's face it, that could be in our own families, in our wider family. It could be in our work situation where people haven't acted in the right way towards us. Or haven't acted fairly, and it could be here in our church. But the question I'd like to pose for us is, do we work towards truly forgiving people and seeking out a peaceful solution to try and make good of a situation, however hard it is? Because we know as Christians that that's what we're asked to do. And we know also that we're given God strength to do that, however hard it is. Philemon had to face up to that decision, didn't he? Whether he would forgive or not. And whether he would find a way to bring peace, not just to his household, but actually personally to Onesimus in that moment in time. The second thing that struck me is this. Philemon had an opportunity in that very moment to either raise Onesimus up or to crush him back down to a place where maybe many would have felt that he belonged. Certainly as a slave, and from the little that I've read, actually, if you betrayed someone as a slave, then actually you would be imprisoned or even could face death. So actually, this is a serious situation. It's not just a trifling ask of Paul to say, would you have your servant back, but not as a servant, but as a brother. But even reinstating him as a servant would have been a big enough deal, because actually servants weren't treated in that way if they'd reached a point of betraying their master or their household. But what Paul asked of Philemon was that he took Onesimus back into the household, as we've said, not as a slave, but as someone who was treated as a brother in Christ, which means there's an equal, doesn't it? And again, imagine yourself into the scene. Imagine yourself being at the door faced with Onesimus and actually maybe being watched on by people around the houses as well, who had seen Onesimus go but had seen him come back. And actually potentially how controversial that may have been for people watching how you respond to Onesimus as he comes back to your doorway. Well, what we see is that from a point of basically Philemon's potentially natural reaction of basically saying, you have betrayed me, you left my household, you are dead to me. Then what we see is that possibly from that point of anger and betrayal, he has the option and opportunity to raise him up. Paul asks after him, doesn't he? Actually, I know what he's done. I know he hurt you. I know he betrayed you. But here you have an opportunity and it's your decision what you do. And what he was asking was that actually this man Onesimus became reinstated back into the family, reinstated and intentionally invested in as part of not just the household as a slave, but as part of the church, in the leadership of the church. And we see that he was saying, actually, I think that this man could be of real value to you in your ministry. Take him on as a brother, raise him up, give him a position and give him value and leadership to be a part of. Again, if people have hurt you, if people have let you down, if people haven't acted in the right way at work, people that you've managed if you're a boss, people in your family who you feel have actually just let you down in things that they'd promised, how does that feel, I wonder, to sometimes consider, actually, what would Jesus do in that situation? Well, the reality is, isn't it, we see a picture of Jesus in the New Testament, who was a guy, a man of God, who constantly gave that sense of reinstating people into roles, that restoration of people from the depths of where they'd fallen to the heights of sitting at God's table and being a son or a daughter of God, and to put in that value and that love, lavishing it upon them. So Jesus does that with us, but sometimes how hard do we find that with the people around us? And lastly, I believe in this story, one thing that I particularly liked was that you see in Philemon, again, the opportunity for him to be a future giver. As Christians, we all hold the keys to be future givers to people around us, because we know a truth that brings real life to people. Whether we choose to share it or not, whether we have the confidence to do that or not, that's a journey that I'm sure all of us are on. But actually, we do have the keys to life for everyone around us, in our family, our city, our workplaces. We are all future givers in that sense. But Philemon, too, in this story, held the keys to being a future giver to Onesimus, didn't he? As you said, it was that T-junction moment, it seems to me, where he could actually say, you're dead to me, off you go, pack your bags, I never want to see you again. Or report him even more so to the authorities, who could have put him in prison, potentially. So he could have destroyed him and made him feel awful, maybe even worse than he did already, and practically punish him. Or at this point, he has the opportunity to be a future giver. He could welcome him back on Paul's commendation. He could reinstate him and give him more than that as a leader to raise him up. Or he could throw him out to dust. My question for myself and for you, therefore, is actually whose life or future do you have in your hands? Or whose life do you actually impact as a friend, as a sister, as a brother, as a husband or a wife? Whose life do you impact day in, day out? Where is there an element of control maybe for you that actually you know that by the decisions that you make, the way that you involve them or not, the way you speak or not, can actually have a great impact on their life. Potentially your children, if you have children. Potentially elderly parents, if you're looking after them, have them close at hand. Potentially your friends at school, at college, those that you impact by what you say and what you do day in and day out. Those that you care for in whatever different sphere, those that you manage at work, the impact that all of us have on our colleagues day in, day out, by the things we say or don't say, the things that we do or don't do, the way that we manage or don't manage. And for those that lead, all of us have the keys to be a future giver in one way or another, whether on a small, immediate family scale, our friendship groups, or in the much wider church communities that we work in or the communities that we live in. And the decision that we make has an impact on that wider scale. Because going back to Philemon, as we mentioned, actually, he may well have been watched by what people could see happening here, that Onesimus was coming back. And on a community level, we see that Philemon had this difficult choice to make. Because actually, he wouldn't have been the only one with a slave, would he? Everyone at that time, including the Christians, as Carl said, they all had slaves. And so can you imagine that actually this one single decision at that particular point in time would have the ripples of effect in the wider community, amongst the other leaders, maybe other church leaders or other authorities and so on, but also amongst the slaves. Can you imagine those who would say, well, why has he reinstated him and raised him up back into his household when that just doesn't happen when slaves betray you? Or amongst the slaves, well, what was right with him? How did he get raised up to this level when actually he should have been thrown out? So it leads us to a point of seeing that actually in this story of Philemon, the depth of what we can learn actually is not just on a personal level, but also as we look at our roles of being leaders, of being people in our communities, that actually the community impact around us can also be great as well. So what does this mean for us? Well, my belief is that it brings us to actually consider what does it look like for us sometimes when we reach that T-junction moment. Because just like going back to that silly Champions League analogy of actually what would you have done if you were the manager? You have the choice to throw out. You have the choice to look for restoration. You have the choice to forgive. You have the choice to carry on a grudge or to throw them out to dust. The T-junction moment in Philemon actually gave the opportunity to forgive, to reinstate, to raise up, and to be potentially a future giver. Well, in this, as the title says there, this demands potentially for us a sense of courageous leadership. And not just leadership, but courageous decisions, isn't it, across the board. That actually sometimes the easier option, as it would seem to us, may be to hold that grudge, to keep people in their place when they've wronged us, to say or do something behind their back which doesn't challenge us, which doesn't change our status quo, which doesn't mean that we have to put ourselves out and maybe lose face sometimes as well, as potentially Philemon would have done by reinstating his once servant. Our decisions have a major impact, don't they? Not just on us, but on the lives around us. And yet in this, maybe the challenge is sometimes that we have to swallow our pride and take the risk and do what Jesus would have us do. All of this, to my mind, just urging us more and more to seek after the character of Jesus and what he would have us do in any of these situations, just as presumably in that household Philemon too would have had to do. So just to finish, in the context of this being in the series of Be the Man, well, I asked myself, actually, I'm not the man, as many of you men out there, what would I suggest this says to us in terms of being the man? Well, as I look at this picture, I was led to think, actually, it's not just about Philemon. This is about his household. And so I started to think, well, actually, where's his wife in this equation? Or maybe his children in this equation? Because actually bringing Onesimus back into the household, if that's what they did, would have had a great impact, as we heard, not just on the family, of course on them, but actually on the wider community. And the impact and the ripples that went out would impact them too. So for a wife's perspective, from my perspective, my encouragement to you men would simply be this, that from looking at the story of Philemon, what I see is a big decision to be made. And as a wife to Darren of 13 years, I think it is this year, actually my belief is that marriage works best when it's done in partnership. And when big decisions come, actually the worst thing for Darren to do, which he doesn't do, but is to just wade on in and make the decision without me. because partnership and working together, not just in marriage, but in teams, in workplaces, actually collaboration and partnership is key, isn't it? And so my encouragement to the men, to all of us, would be that actually we need to be in it together, don't we? And where big decisions are to be made, then prayerfully and practically, let's work at things together so that we can make the right responses that are grounded in truth and in prayer and in finding the right way forward. Not lording it over each other, male over female or female over men, but in finding the right way and prayerful way together under God. So I'm going to throw out just three questions for us to ponder on in just a moment. I'm just going to play a short CD track for us just to reflect and think, and there'll be prayer available for any who want it. But my questions to you are these three that come up on the screen. And I encourage you just to take a moment to actually just allow the Spirit to maybe just prod. Because sometimes we don't always feel something really bulldozing us deeply. But actually, if you're anything like me, sometimes just those little nudges, I think, just take us that little step closer to Jesus on our journey to becoming more like him. And so my questions for you to think about are these. Where, if at all, is there anything in your life where you feel actually, looking at this story, you might be nudged to actually forgive people in your life, where maybe you've started on a journey to forgiveness, but not quite made the entirety of that journey and want Jesus just to come and help you within that? Or it may be that actually he's prompting you to be a peace giver or a peacemaker in the middle of your situations too. The second question for you to reflect on is, who may God be calling you to raise up? Like I said, it may be your children, it may be your friends, it may be those who are struggling around you. God might be calling you to be the key cog alongside them, to just raise them up and instill value and that sense of worth, which so many around us struggle with. And lastly, where can you be the future giver? Where can you unlock the keys to somebody stepping into a sense of new life? Or again, that sense of value that brings them through to a new point of seeing their worth, not just in you, but in Jesus as well. The song that we sang earlier, Reckless Love of God, said this, and I scribbled down the words, it struck me again, that as we think about being courageous in our decisions at times, then we need to know the love and the strength of God. But the courageous element in the Reckless Love of God song says this. It says, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that we don't deserve. It says it chases us down. But in the midst of that overwhelming, never-ending love of God, I encourage you today to just seek God as to how he might want to use you to be courageous in the decisions that you make this week, this day, in the months to come. But seek out that love that is lavished on you and on all of us so that we can just follow him more nearly and love the people around us in the way that he would have us. So we're just going to play this track. And as I said, if anything particularly touches any one of you, please don't hold back. We'd love to pray with you, Carl and myself. Maybe others will be at the back. Even if it's just a nugget of prayer that you just want for God's healing or forgiveness, whatever it is, do come and see us at the back. Let's listen to this now.